This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Welcome to Living the Abundant Life program. This is your host, Rachel McLean. Call 772-220-0602 for more information about men's prayer, ladies' prayer, and midweek Bible studies. Watch our live stream at AbundantLifeStuart.com on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. Our mailing address is Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida 34995. Join us as we go to a pre-recorded service with Pastor Jonathan McLean.
Greetings. It's good to be with you all this morning. We love you all, and we see you all every week, whether you realize it or not. We're watching from Jacksonville. We're one of those people that get to take advantage of the live stream every week, so it's good to actually be here with you all in person this morning. So this is definitely, for us, it's always about coming home. So for me, as I look out across the people that are here, just recently, my first piano teacher passed away, and this lady was a strong woman of the faith, and I appreciated her and her family for a lot of reasons, and some of the same reasons that I appreciated her is the same reasons why I appreciate you all. It's called consistent, steadfast Christians that are dedicated to their faith, and they're consistent for a long period of time. In a day where we have fads that are changing, ministries that are changing, it's all about what's hot and what's popular now. There's something said for the Christians that are consistent and stay the same, not in the same sense of they don't further themselves, but they're grounded in their faith. In a world where things are crashing down around us, having those people that you can look towards and be like, they've been there. They know that the places that they've worked at, the leadership may not have been perfect. Like my piano teachers, they were at a couple different churches, but they were great people, and they always held on because they knew that God was in charge of what was happening at those places, and God would take care of the people in the ministries that needed to be done. But it's great when I come here because I get to see you people, and the people that are here today, I mean, as I'm looking out across here, you guys are you're the baseline, you know what I'm saying? You're the consistent ones, you know? When the world goes crazy and things come crashing down, you know where you stand. You know where your faith is. You know where you're, and I appreciate that, and I know my wife appreciates that, and I was talking with my brother about this past week. For our generations, it's even harder to find people that are like that. Consistency, because people keep changing. It's not wrong changing for the better, but if you're just seeking every popular act that comes into town, and in 1 minute it's one thing, and 1 minute it's the next, we see that inconsistency, and it doesn't reassure us. But when I come here and I have my Abundant Life family, I know that you guys are following the path, you're steadfast, you're believing what's in the Word, and you're moving forward from that. So I appreciate that. We love you all. It's so great to be here with you all today. And that's what I have to say. So
I don't know how I piggyback on that, but
Mary Ellen, tell our people again what you do. And you were up against a little bit of the modern work of the enemy, and you had to take a bit of a stand. You had an opportunity to take a bit of a stand.
Well, to piggyback on that, a lot of things are changing in the world, but a lot of things are changing in the health field itself. And it's scary. Just last week or the week before, I'm not sure, the days run together. And I'm sorry we haven't been here sooner. We've been trying to come down, and I even promised the pastor's wife I'd be down here sooner. But so a couple weeks ago, I was in a case, and, you know, it was a normal day. And I heard some talk about something like, oh, you know, be polite, you know, call her, him, he, and, oh, you know, just be polite, you know. And I'm like, wait, what's going on? We're in a woman's kind of case here. What's happening here? You know, I'm like, anyway, so I asked one of the techs that was in the room, and they said, well, we're doing a case, you know, on the next step. And I'm like, next step. Okay. Next step for what? Next step for transitioning. And I'm like, okay, transitioning. All right, cool. And I was like, okay. So I talked to my nurse and I said, hey, can you look into this computer for me and see if there's anything medically wrong with this woman and why we're doing what we're doing? There was nothing medically wrong with this woman. It was just to transition into a man. So that is the first step at Mayo Clinic to be doing this. And next year we're having a transition surgeon start on our team. And I just found out last week that our new sports surgeon does like rotator cuffs, anything ligament related, ACLs, that kind of stuff, is starting on our team, the orthopedic team. But his wife is the one that's gonna be doing these transitional surgeries. So not only do I have to work with her husband, I have to work with his wife, but I'm not going to be working with his wife. But anyway, I'm the one that made the stand to not be in that room. And there are several people in our community in the hospital that do not want to work with that type of surgery. So just continue to pray for Mayo Clinic, continue to pray for these other hospitals. There's only a handful. I think you can count on one hand how many hospitals are doing this. And unfortunately Mayo Clinic is going to be one of them. So, I just finished my semester, spring semester for my bachelor's degree, and I have two more semesters to go. And then keep praying for me, because I don't know if I'm going to go the PA route or the medical school route. At this point, the medical school route sounds good, because there needs to be strong women, strong men that believe in God that needs to stand.
You were worried about following me. Dear Father God, we love you and thank you for this morning. We thank you for this time together with friends and family and your protection and your guidance in our lives. I pray a blessing over every person that's here today. I pray that whatever it is that's going on in their lives, that you will reach down and touch them. Give them the strength to continue being the witness that they already are for you, Father. And for those of us that are out dealing with some of these issues head on, I pray that you'll continue to give us the strength to do what we need to do, to reflect you correctly to these people. Not in hate, not in judgment, but in love. But us still not giving up what we believe in. We thank you for all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hebrews chapter 1, I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Long ago, say long ago, God spoke many times and in many ways to our ancestors through the prophets. We know about that, don't we? Through the prophets, verse 2, but now in these final days, the last Sunday, we spent a little time talking about these final days. We didn't quite finish that focus last week. But now, in the past, God spoke through the prophets. But now, in these final days, He has spoken to who? Us. Yeah, us. He is speaking. He has spoken. He is speaking to us through His Son. God promised everything to the Son as an inheritance. We look in these opening chapters here of Hebrews. It's going to tell us a little bit about how Jesus is so much greater. Really, so much greater than anything that has ever happened on the planet. The coming of Christ, so much greater. And it begins to emphasize that because this book of Hebrews is just going to make it clear. The last couple weeks we looked in Revelation 5 where Jesus is the one that's worthy. We see Him. He's the worthy one that's worthy to break the seals on the scrolls and open up the end time events that are now in the process of taking place. The sun reflects God's own glory. And everything about Him, about Jesus, represents God exactly. You have an Amplified Bible. It, I believe, gives some reference to a stamping or a seal or a reproduction. In other words, Jesus was the visible reproduction or the visible representation as God because He is God. He's totally God. Jesus is totally God. And so Hebrews saying to the Jewish believers, your faith is grounded, it is steadfast, it's trustworthy, because the founder of your faith is God. And then the Holy Spirit will reveal just how powerful the ministry of Jesus is. Well, He reflects God's own glory perfectly. He sustains the universe. By what? His word. His command. His word sustains. It actually holds everything in place. We will see that Jesus is the creator. He is the one who speaks. The Holy Spirit's the one that's moving. But the words that Jesus spoke those thousands, not jillions of years ago, but thousands of years ago, those words that Jesus spoke this morning are still sustaining the universe. The power of His command. God reflects Himself through His Son. And God's glory is seen through the Son. God's power is expressed as being mighty. He spoke and it happened. Mighty power. His place of honor. Look at this. After He died to cleanse us from the stain of sin, He sat down. What is His place of significance? He sat down in the place of honor. Where? At the right hand of the majestic God in heaven. So God has revealed Himself perfectly as a perfect representation through His Son. Jesus is God, talking about the deity of Christ. God reveals Himself, reflects Himself through His Son. Remember what Jesus said when the disciples said, just show us the Father. We want to see the Father. He said, how can you ask that question? If you've seen Me, you've seen the Father. Do you realize and recognize this morning that we today are that today representation of God the Father? When we look at the end times, we have some pretty scary things that's taking place in the world. And we can look at these events that's going on. The Word, we're going to look at a few of them this morning again. But we see these things going on. But I want you to recognize that in the midst of the end time, with the manifestation of evil, the manifestation of God's glory, first through His Son, but then into us and now through us, the church, is powerful. Think about this. When Jesus spoke and created, that word just stands. The Word of God, spoken through your life, has authority to continue what God has spoken. And so this is why the Word is so important in our lives, that we know it and we understand it. So God reveals, God the Father reveals and reflects Himself through the Son. His glory is seen through the Son. His power, His mighty power seen through the Son. The Son's place of honor is at the right hand of God, and this is revealed to us. We see that. And we see this shows that God's Son is far greater than what? Verse 4. The angels. Don't get caught up in angel worship. They say, well, why would you say that, Pastor? Because some people have. Don't get caught up in praying to angels. Show me the scripture. I've heard people pray to angels. I've heard Christian people pray to angels. Where in the Word of God does it give you or the church or anyone else authority to pray to angels or even a reason to pray to angels? I mean, we make an issue out of the fact that the Roman Catholic Church prays to Mary. Because what is said is, well, Mary being the mother of Yeshua, then most certainly she's going to be close to Him and she's going to run to Him with your prayers. That is not in the Word of God. Mary was a lost sinner without a Messiah, the same as you and me. She referred to Him as her Lord. Yes, she's respected and honored. She was a godly young lady. We recognize her surrender to God, her willingness to make her life available to God. She has a wonderful life that we can learn so much from, but we are not to pray to Mary. And we're also not to pray to angels or to any other saints. Good point. We're not to pray to them. Well, this may shock some of you and may shake some of you up. So go ahead, call me, send me your emails. I'll be happy to look at them. We are not given authority to command the angels. It sells books. People give testimonies. They talk about what they've seen. It's not my job to judge what you've seen in the third heavens or what you haven't seen. I mean, we all have a testimony, and it's wonderful. But if it's not in the Word of God, it is not biblical truth for us to build our faith on or our spiritual life on. And so when we look at this, why is the Word elevating Jesus above the angels? So we understand that we are not to be focused on angels. Now, I suppose some of you in the room have seen angels. In fact, it could be possible, I don't know if it is, but it might be possible that most of you have seen angels, and you may not have even known you were speaking to an angel. The Word actually says that, unaware. And we could share our stories. And in my own life, the only time I have seen angels is when I was real close to stepping into glory. And so those are the times that I've seen angels. And you know what? It doesn't matter. It doesn't make me any more important than anyone who says, well, I've never seen an angel. I'd love to see an angel. No, we need to see Jesus. Hello? We don't pray to angels. We don't command angels. You say, well, give me a scripture text for that. Well, the scripture text is that we're to pray to the Father in Jesus' name. And so when we pray, we do not need anyone between us and God. Otherwise, we would still have a priesthood. But now the Word of God says that you are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation. So we don't need someone between us and God to communicate because Jesus became that sacrifice for us that opened up access into the throne room of God. So you have the same access I do. And you have the same access as Franklin Graham. Or any of the IHOP people, the Bickles and all the others, the intercessors, the prayer. You have the same access as Benny Hinn. I do. He's so different. He seems to have such a connection. You have the same access. I'm not an electrician, but I know enough to know this because at one time I was involved in a hardware store as a manager. Probably didn't know that, a lumberyard. And wiring comes in all different gauges. And the other day my son was working on a very small wire that on my wife's car for the turn signal that's in the mirror. I mean, I don't know who came up with that idea, but and then the mirrors open and close, and so after, you know, it's a 2010 car, and so after a lot of years of opening and closing, that little small wire just broke. And I'm blessed with a son. He had tools, and he's like, chip, 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 chip. He puts it together and it works the first time. But they were very small wires, so he actually kind of coiled a couple together and connects them. And he loves hanging out with you, Bill, and your guys. You do stuff, you know, like that. And it worked. And so those are little small wires. But then he showed me a picture of some big plug that blew up. And it had a whole different size of wire on it. And why would I talk about wiring? I want to just make this point that we all have the same access, but we do not necessarily have the same connection. We may not be receiving on the same level as others because maybe we haven't tapped into the source of God's power that's available to us. So Hebrews is a book that's going to lift Jesus up higher and declare that He's so much greater. This is why we have all the songs we sing in the name of Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, there's something about that name. Because there's no other name above His name. And the Word even tells us that the day is going to come when those cranky, hard-headed atheists are going to bow their knee and acknowledge that Jesus is Lord. It's just you're part of the smart people. You can just pat yourself on the back and say, you're really smart. Because when Jesus came knocking, you said yes. Maybe you didn't say yes the first time, maybe not the second time, maybe not the 50th time. But God may still be knocking this morning saying, will you say yes? But when we say yes and then we find out, the Word says to come boldly. Come boldly, come boldly into my presence where you'll find help in your times of need. Those who had a man in my office one day, he was of the prophetic source. Good brother, good friend. He said, Jonathan, why is it you have such favor with God? He said, you know, I've been around here a while, I've listened to you, you're not all that smart. Oh, I don't have a problem with the truth. He said, there's not really anything all that special about you. He said, there's a whole lot of religious stuff I just soon you got rid of, but why do you have such favor in your life? And immediately it came to mind. I said, I'm really good at messing up. But I found out that the sooner I come to God with every little thing, the sooner God comes to me. And what happens is the connection increases in dynamics and increases my relationship. And so this book is about lifting Jesus up, lifting Jesus up. And understanding that God has given us all access. After He died to cleanse us from the stain of sin, He sat down at the place of honor, the right hand of the majestic God of heaven. This shows us that God's Son, this is the name. So God reflects Himself through His Son. He reflects Him through His glory, coming through His Son. He reflects Him through His power. The very power from the throne room was manifest through Jesus. His place of honor declares His position of authority, seated at the right hand, and the fact that God calls Him His Son declares His name as being the position of authority. This shows us that God's Son is far greater than the angels. Just as the name God gave Him is far greater than their names. For God never said to any angel what He said to Jesus. Today I have become your Father. And again God said, I will be His Father and He will be my Son. And then, the next thing, verse 6 is going to talk about, is how God the Father honors His Son. And then when He presented His Son to the world, His honored Son to the world, God said, let all the angels worship Him. So God honors Him and God presents Him as worthy of worship. You see that, right? Worthy of all of the created beings that God has made, all of them worship Jesus. God's into worship. We too are called to be worshipers. When we worship, we're doing what the angels are doing. They're worshiping Him. What is worship? Worship is showing the worth of another, where you express their worth and you are acknowledging that you are not who they are. You're worthy of my attention, of my devotion. The angels are put in that position. They're created in that position. God the Father declares that all the angels worship Jesus. He's worthy. He's so worthy. He's worthy of worship.
If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can do so today. Please pray this simple prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I believe that You are Christ, the Son of the living God, that You died for my sins. I am a sinner. I need a Savior. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be Lord of my life today. I ask this all in Jesus' name, and fill me with Your wonderful Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to Living the Abundant Life with Pastor Jonathan McLean, coming to you from Abundant Life Assembly of God Church. This program is aired each Sunday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. If you would like to be a partner with us in support of this ministry, you may do so by going to AbundantLifeStewart.com. Please send all correspondence to Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida 34995. Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly.